This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We do appreciate John Curry, Director of Athletics, who just joined us in hour one, and Mark Rick coming up here in a half an hour. And the guy raising his hand right now is a Hall of Famer from Apex High School. Wes, go right ahead.
What did you cook yourself on July the 4th?
Low-keyed it. I got to be honest with you. I did not have anything spectacular. I was going to bring the grill out, but it was just too doggone hot. So I didn't even do the grill.
Yeah.
Maybe something this week. Because, I got the house at 6'5", so it's nice and cool. And
yeah.
We may put some steaks on the grill today or tomorrow. But it was too hot this weekend. It was just kind of out of sorts. And the dogs, they were messed up with the fireworks, so they were... it was not a comfortable weekend. It really wasn't. So, sorry to disappoint you.
So let me say, I'm just going to say on behalf of everybody with the staff of Packer and Durham, we're all disappointed in that response.
Yeah, I would love to have told you that I had kebabs marinating for 48 hours before
we put.
I know you normally, like this morning I went, I did some egg sunny side up with some fresh tomatoes from the farmer's market over a whole wheat toast with some Texas Pete Mexican hot sauce. Does that sound good for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but nothing on the grill. I didn't have anything for you on the grill. Sorry.
Did the dogs eat the toast and the eggs and the hot sauce too?
They don't like anything on there except the toast. They had a piece of toast. That was it. They don't like the egg texture. The hot sauce turns them off. They don't like tomatoes. So that was at 3:30 this morning. So almost time for lunch.
Well, let me say on behalf of some of the staff that given some of the dogs' characteristics and performances, it's hard to believe they don't like hot sauce. But we move on.
They've tried it. They just didn't like it.
Yeah. By the way, more preseason All-America football teams continue to be announced. Sporting News has announced its first and second preseason All-America teams. The ACC has 16 players, Pack?
Yep, more than anybody.
On that All-America list? Wait a second, 16 for the old ACC? Hang on, Pack. What's going on here?
As I always tell you, it just means more when you have more. The ACC has more than any other conference. And it's one of the reasons, as you and I have talked now since we've been back doing live shows for about a month, when this season starts, the reason there's so much anticipation in this conference is because, number one, the quarterback play, top to bottom, I think is the best in the country. And number two, there's dudes back, right? We know about Clemson. Clemson's a given. But I think that this year is the year for the Atlantic Coast Conference to start making some noise with multiple teams. Let me emphasize the word multiple. Multiple teams that could become kind of regulars in the top 20. But, we got to get that season taken place first. That's obviously priority one from that standpoint. But there's huge expectations in this league, even outside of Death Valley, because I think there's about, again, five or six teams with a potential this season of having serious breakthroughs to be a regular in your rankings each and every week, which will come out.
By the way, the 16 players is one ahead of the Southeastern Conference, who had 15. No other league had more than 8 on the first and second All-America list provided by the Sporting News. Mark, I think quarterback is one thing, but I want to go to a conversation we had a little bit. I think Eric McClain pointed this out with us last week. I think the defensive side of this league is kind of underrated nationally. I mean, I you brought up a great point about Pittsburgh. I mean, people, I don't think nationally understand how good Pittsburgh might be up front next year. And there's something to be said about where the ACC could be from a defensive standpoint. I mean, Hamsa Nasruddin at Florida State could very well work his way into a high-level draft pick. We know Marvin Wilson up front is, but I think there are a lot of defensive guys that people are sleeping on from a national perspective that could have an impact in this league next year.
If you ask people who follow college football, hey, who do you think's got the best defensive line in the country? I wonder how many would say Pitt, because if you don't have them on the short list, you don't know what you're talking about. And, I'll go to the bottom end of the league in terms of logistics. Miami's going to have two defensive ends that could play for anybody in the country. That they are going to be a nightmare of who can get to the quarterback first. And Manny Diaz will sit back there, and everybody will be talking about the D'Arc King, and rightfully so, quarterback. But I can't wait to see Miami's defensive ends get after people. I think Clemson's freshmen on the defensive front can't wait to watch those dudes play. This league is going to be loaded on that side of the ball, Wes. And those numbers from the Sporting News, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, 16 is more than everybody else in the country. I just think the quality of depth this particular year in the Atlantic Coast Conference in football should be outstanding. And I'm even more excited in the sense that from a quarterback standpoint, I don't think there's another league in the country that can match up what the ACC is going to do from top to bottom. And even at the very top, I think the 1-2 combination of Trevor and Sam matches up with anybody in the country, period. You bring your best, here's the ACC's best, and get in the rearview mirror because that's where we'll be able to find you.
Well, by the way, the Sporting News, we talk about defense. The Sporting News, three of the front four are ACC players: Gregory Rousseau, Jalen Twyman, and Big Marvin Wilson from Florida State. That's their front four of the first team All-America, and that's three ACC guys. Chaz Surratt, by the way, is the linebacker. He's a Carolina guy. Andre Sisco is one of the guys in the second year. That's the first team All-America list of the Sporting News. Now, Sisco, by his standards, had a disappointing sophomore campaign, but he's still got double-figure career interceptions at this point and is a guy who is a threat nationally. And we haven't even gotten to Nasruldeen and some of these other guys that we were talking about just from an ACC perspective. So, I think you're right. The 2020 season's important for a lot of people, but for this league in particular, and it could be 12 games, 10 games, 8 games, whatever the number ends up being, the ACC, when they play, if everybody's green-lit and ready to go, it's going to be a showcase of talent across the board. But to have 16 of the 44 by the Sporting News, that's a pretty strong endorsement of how good this league might be top to bottom from a talent perspective, for sure.
You didn't even mention my man Paris Ford. I mean, I know. The league is going to be really good. I mean, that's the bottom line on this thing. And of course, hope you stay healthy. And the national narrative, I'll say this for the 400th time on this show, the national narrative regarding ACC football will be changed if one thing happens. And again, the biggest word in sports is if. If the ACC has to start winning games of note. And the good news is, from a scheduling standpoint, there are incredible opportunities early, assuming we're going to have a 12-game schedule here, right? This is how I'm going to have this conversation, right, as if we're going to play 12. But there are so many unbelievable opportunities for teams in this league to change the narrative. North Carolina knows those first two games with UCF and Auburn are critical. Miami knows, you know what, if we're going to get to where we need to be, first of all, Temple, get it, but man, we got to win at Michigan State. Louisville obviously has a chance to make some noise early with NC State and at Clemson their first 2 weeks. Virginia Tech gets Penn State rolling into town, the Blacksburg. I mean, we can go right down this list. Florida State's got two really important games. West by God, Virginia, and then the road trip to Boise State. I mean, I go through all of these games, man. I mean, this league will have a chance, given the talent that's back, the quarterbacks that are in place, to change the national narrative. But the only way to do it is to beat people of note. That's the only way it changes, Wes.
Well, by the way, there are other games on there like Notre Dame, Wake Forest, and Charlotte Pack, which, given where the Deacons might be, could also be a critical game. We didn't even see the year-end games listed on there in November. You know, the Florida State Floridas, the Georgia Tech Georgias, Clemson South Carolina type games that are common ground rivalries. So you're right, but the month of September is a critical month in terms of perception for the ACC. Now, the school that has obviously blown up the most in the offseason is North Carolina. The recruiting, as everybody knows, has been good. And they also were impressive offensively in the last half of the 2019 season. But, Pac, the way Carolina is built, and we've talked about the 10 starters back on offense, it's going to be interesting to see, given those two ball games early, regardless of how the run-up to this season is conducted, Carolina's going to have to be sharp from opening snap because of expectation as much as what reality might be, right?
Well, it's more than just North Carolina West. You know, I think of a team like Florida State. You know, Mike Norvell, new coach. You have West Virginia. Neil Brown's in year two of a rebuilding project in Morgantown. Mm-hmm. Neutral site game. It's the kind of game that if you're going to get back to being discussed, you've got to win those kind of games, right? And so Mike Norvell knows that. And that road trip to Boise State, I keep emphasizing, you know, Virginia went out there a couple years ago and wore Boise State out on the blue turf. That does not happen very often. We know what happened in the opener last year, but it seems like a million years ago. So Mike mm-hmm. Norvell and the Noles will have two really critical games. I know we talked to E.J. Manuel about this, that by the time October rolls around, we should have a pretty good handle on Florida State. How good's the offensive line? What's the swagger like? Do you beat those two non-conference games of note? Teams like that. I mean, Virginia, for example. We had Bronco Mendenhall on the show from the farm the other day, the ranch. You know, the game against Georgia. They're going to be an underdog in that game. There's no doubt. But, you know, Georgia's got a new quarterback. Absolutely. It could be Jamie Newman, the transfer from Wake Forest. But a great opportunity for Virginia to build on what they did last year, winning the Coastal. Now you play a really good SEC team that's thinking about national championships from the get-go. Virginia Tech, people have jumped on the bandwagon with the Hokies, got everybody and their brother coming back. Penn State is going to be loaded. I mean loaded. And they're coming to Blacksburg early. Mm-hmm. So, again, every one of these teams. I got to Miami, Michigan State. I mean, all these handful of teams who have a chance to change the narrative have games of note early that you sit back and say, listen, anybody can schedule them, but now let's go win some. And that's what the ACC has to do.
All right, I want to get you going to break on this. Preseason top 25 of the Associated Press Poll. Clemson, right?
No doubt.
Yeah, Clemson will be there. Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. Who else is in that top 25 for you?
I think Virginia Tech's going to be in the top 25.
Louisville in that top 25?
Louisville could be close.
What about Louisville?
But I think Virginia Tech, with what they've got coming back, I think the ACC will have three with Louisville and Pitt and Florida State and Miami receiving votes. So three in and four receiving votes would be my guess.
So they're sleeping if only three are in that AP top 25, though, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but
three schools in the top 25, people are going to say, well, the ACC's Clemson and whatever.
No doubt. Well, and again, the only way that changes is for North Carolina to come flying out of the gates, for Virginia Tech to surprise Penn State, for Florida State to take care of business with Boise State and West Virginia, for Miami to be undefeated heading in October, including a win at Michigan State, for Pittsburgh's defense to completely swallow everything whole, dominate people, and have a zero heading into October. I mean, that's the only way the narrative changes. So leading into it, I think the national perspective of the league is still going to be, well, it's Clemson, and then there's a giant gap between everybody else. And really, with what we've seen here the last couple of years, that makes a ton of sense if you're a national guy that doesn't follow the ACC. But the only way it changes, and the league's going to have opportunities, is to have W's. And that's how it changes, Wes.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The Hall of Famer teased going to break about Sporting News coming out with coaches and the rankings, ranking all 130 in the football bowl subdivision. And all this does is cause trouble. Take it from us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad Sporting News decided to jump in the deep end of the pool to give us this list, Wes.
I mean, Dabo Sweeney, too. No surprise, sure. No arguments, right?
No, I mean, Nick Saban should be one, given his body work. Dabo Sweeney should be two, given his body work. No problem. No issue at all.
Right. Okay, here's the top 40 in order, according to the Sporting News. I feel like we should emphasize that, Pac. Mac Brown, Bronco Mendenhall, Scott Satterfield, Dave Clawson, David Cutcliffe, Pat Narduzzi. That's 1 through 40. And then 41 through 60 essentially is where the rest of the league falls. Justin Fuente, Dave Doran, Mike Norvell, Dino Babers, Manny Diaz, Jeff Collins, and Jeff Hafley. Comments and thoughts, Mr. Packer?
Well, my comment really involves not necessarily the ACC, but from a national perspective, because I saw this list come out. I made a note for the afternoon radio show Wes, and let me just kind of work backwards to answer your question. Again, anytime you do a list like this, it is list season. You get into June and July, we get nothing but lists, and that's fine. That's the way it is. But in this particular list, the top five, according to Sporting News, like you said, let's emphasize, according to Sporting News, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Coach O down there at LSU, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, and Kirby Smart at Georgia are the top five. I made a note when I looked at this list, and I thought it was interesting, that numbers 6 through 130, which is the total number, 130 coaches, coaches ranked 6th through 130 have combined for a grand total of 0 college football playoff wins. 0.
Right.
It goes to show you how dominant a few schools have been in this new era. And again, we're now 6 years into it, going to year 7 of the college football playoff. There have only been 18 college football playoff games, all right, total. Nick Saban's won 6. Dabo Sweeney has won 6. Coach O at LSU won 2 last year. You do quick math, even Wes Durham could tell you as a Hall of Famer, that's 14 wins of the 18 games that have been played. That's it. I mean, who else has wins? Well, let me tell you. Kirby Smart's got 1 because he beat Lincoln Riley. So that gets you to 15. Where are the other 3 games? Urban Meyer's got 2 of them.
Jimbo Fisher.
No. Jimbo's got 0.
No, Jimbo Fisher's got none.
0.
Urban Meyer's got 2.
Urban's got 2. He doesn't even coach anymore. And the other one is Mark Helfrich. He's no longer in college football. So it goes to show you how few people have had success when it comes to the ultimate level of active coaches. I know Max got a national championship from Texas. He's in the top 15. Rank them however you want. I don't think there's any doubt. Saban 1, Dabo 2. And then from that line, you could probably, you know, draw a line and go, well, Coach O is the latest, greatest, smartest guy because he's got the belt. Put him at 3. But it just goes to show you how difficult it's been to, number one, get to the college football playoff and win games. I mean, Lincoln Riley's in the top 5, has yet to win a college football playoff game, right? Kirby Smart's in the top 5. He's got 1 only because he beat Lincoln, who can't win any so far. It's hard to do. So the list, you know, call it for whatever it is. I mean, a guy like David Cutcliffe, to me, I'm hard-pressed to believe there's 30 coaches better than David Cutcliffe. But, you know, that's up to Sporting News. It's their list.
But isn't this also a reflection of splash? I mean, okay, it's easy, like you just said, the top 5 guys. Well, yeah, you could all figure out the top 5, right? I mean, the top 5 is not hard to surmise. I mean, Ed Orgeron, though, a year ago wouldn't have been in the top 5. And it may be that next year's top 5 features somebody that's not in there this year because they go and have a great season. But, Mark, the patience factor in these rankings doesn't exist. I mean, Bronco Mendenhall at 24, great patience there because he's built that program. Dave Clawson at 31 and David Cutcliffe at 32, they should be rewarded more for the patience and the job they've done in building those programs. I mean, to me, this is a, if you're David Cutcliffe and you don't go to a bowl so you get marked down, well, that's not an indication of how good that program is compared to where it was when he started. I mean, and maybe that's why these are annual lists, but I mean, even somebody like Justin Fuente, you could argue, should be higher than 42 based on just the way Virginia Tech finished the season in the second half after they kind of got the quarterback thing resolved and fought through injuries and things like that. Dino Babers won 10 games 2 years ago. Okay, it didn't go great in 2019, but Dino Babers is better than 55. I mean, we understand that, right?
I don't worry about this stuff, Wes. I don't sweat top 130 lists. It gives you something to chew on, and for the blood pressure to go up on something like this, you know, I wouldn't go too crazy. I mean, for example, Ed Orgeron, an incredible job last year. LSU wins a national championship. A year and a half ago, people already run Ed Orgeron out on a rail in Baton Rouge, and today's the ranked number 3 in Sporting News. So, I mean, you know, you take the good with the bad. Other than 1 and 2, which to me are the biggest locks right now in college football, given what they've proven over a period of time, you can make any number you want with all this stuff. But like I said, I'm hard-pressed to believe there are 31 better college football coaches in America than David Cutcliffe ranked at 32. And I, I don't even need to look at wins and losses. I just need to know with how you put together a program, given the academic deal he's got to deal with, the everything. I mean, tied into that. I mean, come on. David Cutcliffe's big time. So, again, I don't worry about it. Really don't.
Yeah. No, I get it. And you're right. It's a summertime list, and you sit in a beach chair, and you mark it off in your book, and then you start, you know, okay, well, that's nice to see. So, you know.
And like I said,
give them credit. They did put
well, that's why I thought the number.
They put 16 guys on the All-America team.
And that's fine, too. I mean, it's list season. I mean, you can't lose your mind unless it's something that's so totally whacked out that has no business being in there. But I do think from a college football fan perspective, regardless of what league you love, like I pointed out, it should be noted that coaches 6 through 130, all of them combined, have zero college football playoff wins. It goes to show you how hard it is to get there and to win and win at the ultimate level. It's just gives what tells you what Dabo's done is so remarkable.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Many thanks to John Curry, Director of Athletics, who joined us in hour number one. I told you, Wes, that my girl's got a head start to the beach like everybody else and her brother, but the guy that beat him in the finish line because he's had a head start from months and months and months is our next guest, and that's the coach, Mark Richt. There he is, looking like $1 million as always. What's up?
I'm feeling good. Everything's going well. Did have hip replacement a month ago. I'm not moving as fast as I want to be moving, but I don't have anywhere to go right now except for this spot right over here. I don't know if you'll be able to see that or not, but.
Oh, man.
Oh.
See that?
Nice. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wake up to that every morning. That's kind of a bummer.
So
somebody's got to do it.
So before Wes jumps in this and starts asking the X and O questions, let me ask the most important question. In fact, you had hip surgery. How many fireworks you fire off up there from the 33rd floor? I know you.
It was amazing. I mean, we got a chance to watch it off the balcony, and it was as good as I've seen. So Sandusk in Florida does a great job shooting those fireworks off, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but how many did you shoot off? How many did you fire personally?
No, I didn't shoot any off. We had sparklers. We had our granddaughters, our Jaden and Zoe, that are 5 and 2, and they both got burned by sparklers for the first time, so... Poopaw didn't do a good job.
Yeah, Poopaw, lousy parental supervision there. I can tell you that. He's got a bad hip. You can't blame him for that. He's got a bad hip. Sorry the kids have third-degree burns on sparklers, but Poopaw's got a bad hip over there.
I was trying to get there in time, but it was too late.
Unbelievable.
Spark, by the way.
Oh yeah, that's right. You take a nice slow sip, coach. We'll get to you whenever you're ready.
Wow. Yeah, you tell us. Yeah, wow, that's right. Yeah.
I'm ready when you are.
I'll tell you what. It's almost like he's got a bucket of cheese balls with him this morning.
You
okay. Here we go. Tell me if you're a football coach today, what is your number one priority? We had John Curry, an athletic director, on from Wake Forest earlier. He told us his number one priority was making sure their process and protocol was hemmed up and getting student athletes back to campus. If you're coaching a team on July the 6th, what's your number one priority today, Mark?
Well, it still has to be the safety of your players and your staff. Just like when that hurricane was rolling through a couple years ago, and we're trying to make decisions what's in the best interest of the game, but also, you know, what happened was it was what's in the best interest of our players. And so you still got to make sure you're taking care of all those things. And I understand, believe me, as a head coach, you're a lot of things rise and fall on you. You're an athletic director. You're a commissioner. And you're trying to make things work. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to play. But you got to be safe, and so that's number one. And then if you feel like you can get that done, then you got to make sure your team is trying to stay as close as possible during these times of separation.
Coach, we just went through a list, and everybody's got a list this time of year. But we just pointed out that the Sporting News, in their first and second team All-Americas, the ACC had 16 players on their list. That's right. More than any other conference. And who knows if we're going to play football. We all are hopeful that we're going to have a season. We just don't know when it's going to start. But I'd be willing to tell you that I think that if we're – and, again, I hope I'm 100% wrong. If we don't – if's the biggest word in sports. If we don't, the ACC may have more to lose than anybody else, given the fact that I think this is going to be a really good year for ACC football.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have that credibility as a league. And part of the credibility as a league is what type of players are you producing and, you know, who ends up getting drafted and how high and how many. And then just, you know, who makes All-American teams and things of that nature. And quite frankly, the league is set for a bounce-back year. It was a rough year last year. There's no doubt about it. It was Clemson and everybody else. There was a few bright spots here and there. Louisville, North Carolina did some good things. And, you know, a few other teams made noise. Virginia Tech finished strong and found a quarterback. But, you know, this would have been a year, in my opinion, or can be a year that will really – set the ACC back in a good trajectory.
It's also a league that's going to be dominated by the quarterback position, and everybody knows about Trevor Lawrence, and certainly Sam Howell had a terrific rookie season. But now all of a sudden, here comes a guy in De'Ara King, the Miami coach, who was responsible for 50 touchdowns a couple of years ago. You start adding him to the list with Mikhail Cunningham and some of these other guys.
Well,
you mentioned
Hendon
Hooker at Virginia Tech.
Right. I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, you got Trevor, you got Sam, you got Mikhail, you got De'Eric King that you mentioned. But James Blackman is a solid player. Hendon Hooker played well for Virginia Tech. Kenny Pickett's back for the 25th year. it was kind of a heartbreaking thing when Jamie Newman left Wake Forest. But just imagine if he was still there, you know, you might have three first rounders sitting there in our league alone. So when you got good quarterbacks, you know, you got a chance to be really good as a team and as a league.
Yeah, a guy like Sam Hartman at Wake Forest, Chase Bryce transfers from Clemson to Duke. All these guys can flat out play. You know, I'm glad that you brought up Kenny Pickett because, Coach, I'm jumping on this bandwagon that everybody knows about North Carolina, they're getting a ton of love. Everybody knows about Virginia Tech, they're getting a ton of love. The Canes always getting a ton of love on that side. Nobody talks about Pitt, and I think they are the biggest sleeper. I think their defensive front is as good as anybody in the country. Pat Narduzzi knows what he can do on the defensive side. They got a bunch of linemen back. Pickett, you mentioned, been there his 25th year as a senior now. They've got the ingredients. Now, even their non-conference schedule isn't as brutal as it's been in years past. Right. I think Pitt's the team that's laying in the weeds. I really do.
Well, you never can count them out. You know, Coach has got he's the dream killer. You know, he beat UCF, I think, when they had their long streak. And, of course, when I was at Miami, we had won 15 in a row. And we roll in there. They're like 4-6. We're in the top four in the college football poll. And they knock us out of the box, you know. So Coach Narduzzi does a wonderful job of getting his team ready. And you're right, they got great defense and a veteran quarterback. They got a shot to be good. But the team, I think, is going to be really, really good. And they showed a lot of signs of it last year, is Louisville. I mean, Coach Satterfield's going into his second year. They're scoring points left and right. Their defense, obviously, was not very good last year, but they still had a six-game improvement from the year before, which is the most in America. And I really believe that with Mikhail Cunningham and the skill guys they've got, the great running back, is it Javian?
Hawkins, yep.
Hawkins. I think they're going to be really good. And, you know, certainly Miami's got a chance to be good. You know, I think the one position at Miami is going to get a whole lot better is that offensive line. And they're finally growing up together and got a great quarterback in front of them. So it's going to be a great season, I think.
Mark, when we talk about quarterbacks and we talk about Sam Howell right behind Trevor Lawrence, and I know you've worked with enough guys in your career that they've got to take steps in the offseason. Well, this has been the most unique offseason we've seen in the modern era of college football. So what for Sam Howell based on what you saw a year ago, might he have to work on? And for that matter, collectively, what do quarterbacks typically have to work on from one year to the next?
Well, it's amazing how well he played. We all know that. I think he set a national record for a true freshman touchdown passes. I think he's like second and third in America. The guy is a very special talent. He's got nerves of steel. He's got great. He's got two 1,000-yard receivers coming back, and a back that can tote the mail too. So I think they're going to be really outstanding again. I think, you know, his main thing is to not get complacent and thinking he, you know, set the world on fire and it's going to be that easy every year. He's got to, you know, do the things that he did a year ago to get prepared for this moment. And like you say, this summer's a little bit different. And hopefully he's had a chance to get up with his fellas and get sling the ball around a little bit. But he's really something special.
Coach, almost everybody lost their spring. For the most part, I mean, some teams got more in than others. Some got zero in. Just wear your head coaching hat a second. If you were in that position where you had zero spring practice, what is the most important thing to do when these camps open up, coming up in another week or so, in terms of your head coaching position?
Right. Well, first of all, you got to make sure everybody's in condition. You know, it used to be everybody's there first summer session, second summer session. They're running, lifting, jumping. And I know they're doing some of that now, but probably not as much as before. And way back when I played, we didn't show up for summer school. We showed up for camp to get in shape. And I think there's going to be a little bit of that going on. Make sure your team is in good condition. Because those first games in the heat of the summer still, when you get to September, it's still hot. It's still muggy. It's, you know, those guys are going to have a lot of nerves. And if they're not in the right kind of shape, it's going to be tough on those kids. So you got to make sure you're in great condition. And then you just got to, again, make sure you don't do too much in the beginning because you might not have had the time to get it established in the spring, get it even more established throughout the summer. And I'm talking about your offense, defense, special team system. You might have to just crawl a little bit before you start walking and running. Or if you throw too much at them too soon, you might start off rough.
Coach, what about the way this whole thing sets up now? The run-up to kickoff is a fascinating dynamic, right? I mean, you may, and we've heard other coaches, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame say, hey, look, I may think I got a guy on Wednesday, and then all of a sudden there's a positive test, and on Friday he doesn't get on the bus. Reps, especially a quarterback, are one thing, but what about reps through your team?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to be able to do that. Now, most people try to get as many, maybe not quite as many reps. Let's say you get a 5-minute period and you could get eight plays run in a 5-minute period. Well, more than likely, you're going to give five plays to your offensive first team and you're going to give three plays to your second team. That's normally what I would do to keep as many guys ready as possible because you can say you can call it COVID, you can call it whatever you want, but usually your second teamers are one play away from playing a bunch. So, you know, you're kind of preparing for that anyway, but, you know, you could get a massive amount of guys, or when I say a massive amount, you might get four or five guys at the same time. And if you have that, you know, let's say your whole offensive line gets tested positive, you're going to be in panic mode. I mean, you got to throw those other guys in there. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to grow fast. But the goal is during practice to make sure at least your first and second team gets enough reps where they can function properly if they need to.
All right, speaking of reps, what's on your agenda now 1 month after hip surgery? What are we working on today to get better?
Well, we're doing all of our physical therapy workouts that I've been given and doing them so diligently and try to see if I can take out the trash, maybe help out around the house, do a couple chores here and there. But for the most part, my goal is to walk in the sand, which I've not been able to do without a walker. It's kind of pitiful to watch me hobble down to the beach, but once you get planted in that seat and get you a nice cold drink, everything's all right.
Coach, you know what? You're not fooling anybody, man. You are going to absolutely milk that to death. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I know, you know what? You could probably do 20 jumping jacks right now once this camera goes off, but you're going to go down there with a walker like I'm 100 years old. Somebody help me across the street. I know better than this. You are playing possum. I know you. There's playing
a little,
possum.
Maybe a little possum.
Yeah.
life is good. I'll say this. Life is good at the beach.
There you
especially
go.
To be with my beautiful wife, Catherine. We were kind of feeling guilty during all this lockdown because we were having a good time, actually.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I am not betting against Coach, ever betting against Coach.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Final segment of a very quick Monday show. Super fast.
Yep. Dave Doran on this show tomorrow, by the way, the football coach at NC State. We'll talk to him about obviously some staff changes, what that's been like, and also kind of integrate spring and offseason and all those things as the Wolfpack comes back. Plus, he said that Devin Leary will be the starting quarterback for NC State come the fall. So we'll talk to Dave Doran about that and more tomorrow. Here on Packer and Durham. TBT update, power of the paw. Tevin Mack, who joined us on Friday's show, they fell to Armored Athlete last night, 98-91. Once again, a lot of defense, and you saw that, Pack, a lot of defense being showcased in the TBT.
I got to be honest with you. I did not watch but about three or four dribbles of the TBT over the weekend. It's not that I wasn't interested. I just was okay. just didn't get around to it. But I will say the power of the paw being eliminated in Columbus, Ohio, it might be the closest Ohio State fans have been to experiencing and seeing Clemson lose.
Gee.
Is watching the power of paw be eliminated in Columbus, Ohio. if you remember, they're 0-4
yes.
in football against the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Brad Brunell even took his basketball team up there during the ACC Big Ten Challenge in Columbus and wore them out. And they have a really good basketball team, too. So for all the folks in Columbus that are Buckeye fans, I hope you enjoyed that because that might be as close as you get to seeing the Tigers lose. Just saying.
By the way, Team CP3, who plays tonight at 7 o'clock against the Marquette alumni team, Golden Eagles, features former Carolina stars Kennedy Meeks and P.J. Harrison. That's at 7 o'clock on ESPN tonight. There's a look at the TBT schedule. Not sure. Team Brotherly Love, I'm going to guess that's Philadelphia. So tip time 7 and 9 tonight on ESPN for the TBT. $1 million winner take all deal, by the way, there. So, all right, quick check. Joey Galloway, our ESPN college football colleague, Pack, you talked about fireworks. Joey Galloway was supplying an entire city. I don't know much about Joey. I know he likes to play golf. Our producer, Drew Brooks, apparently, he and Joey, a mean four-ball team at times at the Rockledge Golf and Country Club there in Central Connecticut. But quick check on Joey Galloway. We have a photo, I believe,
oh
of Joey.
Goodness.
Look at what? Getting ready to light him up.
Wait a minute. I thought Joey Galloway worked for ESPN. I didn't know he owned a fireworks store. Goodness gracious. This is what I'm talking about. You can't shoot off all that stuff on July 4th, so you have a rollover into July 5th. He's the kind of guy that I was screaming at last night. Hey, dude, you got July 4th. Get it all over you. I don't need to hear fireworks on the 5th. Look at that lineup. Holy mackerel. He needed to find a place with four garages just to store all the stuff. He's got more fireworks in the state of South Carolina. Look at that lineup.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know who the accomplices are there, but that's a lot of ammo, Joey.
Oh, Must have got a discount, man. What is going on there? You know what? You know what, Wes?
And then, by the way,
I was going to tell you, I don't like shooting them off. I like watching them from a distance. Like Coach Rick, he's up there on the 33rd floor down there looking down on everybody. I mean, that's the way you do it. You know, you just let you know, if you want to be a hero and go shoot them off and light them up, man, knock yourself out. I mean, that's not my style. It's not my style.
How about our man John Herman, who tweeted at us, Pac? Fireworks should be over 45 minutes after dark and only on the 4th.
Here's the deal. Here's my whole theory on fireworks on the 4th. You've got 24 hours to let it rip, all right? You got 24 hours, but the second we get to 12:01 a.m. on July 5th, you're done. It's over. We're not celebrating America's birthday anymore. Now you're a problem. You're a menace to society. Noise disturbance. 12:01 a.m. on July 5th, they stop. You had 24 hours to get whatever you bought, whether you're Joey Galloway or going down and seeing Pedro and buying a firecracker. You got 24 hours to unload. And then we're done. Then we're done with this nonsense. That's how I feel about it.
I don't know if Joey could fire all those fireworks in 24 hours.
He can't. He's one of those July 5th problems, is what he is. That's what happens. You can't fire them all off in one day. So I'll say, hey, we got another night. Let's fire them off.
All right. So we've also found out during this hour or 2 hours that the house is on 6.5. So everything's cool and comfortable in the house.
Feels good.
The dogs are worn out from the last couple days.
They're exhausted. Right, Fuller?
All right.
Exhausted.
So what is for dinner? What's for dinner tonight at the Packer house for you and for the dogs? Because we all know they eat what you eat.
Well, you know, I got to get the grill cranked up. I see I got radio till 6. So, you know, at 6:01, I go upstairs and figure out, am I in the mood to grill or not? So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that yet. Don't know.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.